Vamos ver agora.
Anyone registered for public comment?
Yeah, we do have
really just okay. All right.
Are any of you interested in public comment? No? Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Any disclosures are refused?
Well, then we could take this moment for introduction.
Yes, please. I'm nosy. Yeah.
Do you want to start with that?
Hello, everyone. My name is Well,
there's a lot of action.
But I am the auditor for District 17, which I believe is the best side of Madison. It encompasses East Town Mall. Imagine just that it used to be my district. It's like across the street, basically, but I've advocated like really hard for it the last couple of years. It is now under construction. So if you don't know me for anything else, know me for the lady that will never leave the Imagination Center because I worked so hard to make sure it gets done. But yeah, I really love library board. It was, I'm sure you all are probably library kids too. So yeah, we got that in common. But yeah, I love libraries and I will never get off the library board as long as I can.
I'm John, I'm board member, second term now. So I've been involved in libraries, also the president of the Friends of the Goodman South Madison Library Friends Group. Love libraries.
And I'm Christine, I work for the library. Part of the work I do is set up an attendance meeting in 6 minutes. And if here.
Hi, I'm Lisa Hempstead, and I am the chair of the board. Been on the board since 2018. And I'm also the Madison Metropolitan School District rep. So my day job is a library media tech specialist with K-5 schools. So I'm in the library every day all day.
As am I. Different library. I'm Tana Elias. I'm the library director. I've been in this position for about a year and a half. I've been at the library, Madison Public Library, for over 30 years. I have a graduate of UW-Madison. Bless.
Hello. My name is Jen Carter. I've been a board member for maybe almost 2 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. And in my day job, I work with state and local government, so the library was of interest to me, and also grew up very much being at the library all the time. I live on the east side, and we are currently, yeah, for the east side. We also were sort of library service list. I'm in like the district adjacent to yours, so we're very excited about the Imagination Center, and it's just a couple minutes away, which I'm so thrilled about. So yeah, good to have you all here.
Yeah.
And Plumer Lovelace, also grew up in libraries, and in my case, it was in Milwaukee. So libraries were like an extension of my family. There was a speed dial. The library staff would have been on the speed dial. And by day, I worked for the School of Medicine and Public Health.
Welcome, everyone. I hope we don't disappoint you. This is probably our slimmest agenda. You've
got to find something to like
argue about. Yeah, come during budget time.
And we're just happy to have a quorum because we were a little worried about that. So, all right. So we're going to start with our new business.
Just jumped right
up. Okay. Does anybody else want to exchange anything?
I real quick. Okay. Catherine Michaelis, who is the past president of McKinney's Friends, is calling together an all friends meeting, and it will be November 8th. We have coffee from 10 to 12 at Kinney. And I think she's got 7 of the 9 friends groups, leadership of the groups, committed to it. So she sort of reinitiated an all friends quorum, which we haven't had for a couple of years. So it's a good thing. I won't be there at the meeting, though, unfortunately. I don't want to be there. Yeah. It'll be 10 to 12 at Kinney. November 8th.
The day after.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
After partying all night, to get a coffee. Yeah.
So Ex Libris is a fundraiser that the foundation runs to support the library, and it's really fun. It's on Friday, November 7th, 7 p.m., and they have all these vendors from the area that serve drinks and food. There's going to be, So you're welcome. All right.
Congratulations. Oh,
thank you.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, I'll expect a photo.
I will send photos, and I will say, in honor of my being involved in the library board, my aunt was so sweet, and she made little custom bookmarks that was like a gem of them. So I'll have to bring it next time. I meant to bring it today, I didn't. But yes, they all know. They all know that my love for the library comes first. So, it's a close second now. So anyway, that's really sweet, guys. Thank you.
Do I have a motion to approve the September 4th, 2025 minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Pima. Second. Thank you, Tom.
All those in favor?
All those in favor? I'm Russ.
Hi.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right. Do I have a motion to approve item 90255, the September 2025 Director Support Report?
So moved.
So I'll take it out of order. And I'll start with the budget.
good news on the budget. So extremely happy to report that the mayor included all of the staffing for the Imagination Center in her 2026 executive operating budget. So as you know, the process is there is a period of time in which alders can introduce amendments to anything in the budget, and then mid-November council approves the final budget.
I was going to say, don't hold up with reaching out to your alders and having the conversations. So don't, you know, don't stop now. Keep it up all the way to passing.
So, but it is a different conversation to have now that it has been fully funded in the mayor's executive budget, at least, because two things to note about that. Like, advocacy is really more on the amendment process at this point, and advocacy in general for the library, as Alder Madison said, is always good. But then the other key point is because it's included in the executive operating budget, when it's finalized in November, we won't have to go back to make up that additional funding for that full year, because that will be operationalized through the cost of continued process. So that is kind of a double win.
Yeah. Yeah. A quick question, and maybe this will fall into the financial report instead, but I don't recall back when we were going through the budgeting scenarios, there wasn't a scenario like this, like, you know, big surprise. So what does that mean in terms of the current budget? Do you have a scenario that was designed around the mayor doing this? Or do you go back and generate a new scenario?
What will happen is the numbers that you approve will be increased by what we asked for in the area okay. that you asked. The way that we built our supplemental was, if it hadn't passed, we would have to go back and reapprove that again in December with different numbers, including those reductions. So we've never, as far as I know, gone through a little process like that before, where we've had to come back with a significantly different budget. We built it in as a supplemental, and these were the things that we would reduce. So we built the budget as if it would be funded a little increase for the new staff.
Okay, thank you.
Did I explain that before? Yeah, okay.
I'm just curious on this point too. I saw that my Alder Field had reached out to you with questions about the ask. Have you gotten many other questions? I'm just curious, like from other alders about kind of the details of the supplemental, or not really?
I haven't. I did have a conversation with Alder Pritchett about this. I thought it was going to be about this, and it's just really more of a kind of get to know your conversation. Although we did go through the supplemental request and talked about like why we put things mm-hmm. on. So okay. Other than that, I have no one's reached out to me about possible amendments, for example, or any significant changes. I think some of that might come into play. Any other budget-related questions? There are additional things to highlight as well, but like that's the big one. We'll save Imagination Center for the Imagination Center update. Other big thing that I wanted to highlight was the 150th anniversary. As you know, it's 150th anniversary all year we're celebrating. We had a special edition library card campaign in September, which is also September is Library Card Sign Up Month. So Liz Boyd, our marketing manager, put a lot of time and effort into creating a campaign to promote people getting new library cards and getting this custom special edition library card. We saw a 21% increase in library cards over September of 2024. So that feels like a win because the number of library cards can fluctuate from month to month anyway. September tends to be big. Well, because kids are back in school, UW-Madison comes back, and so you get like a new crop of people. It's best to kind of compare to the previous year's month versus like August, where we typically have kind of a dip in library card registrations. So it will be interesting to see if that continues through October. We know that we had lots of interest from day one in September, and actually in August when we started promoting it, about people wanting to replace their library card, their orange card, with a special edition card, and that we're allowing people to do in October while supplies last. So really great way to both highlight the 150th anniversary, let people know about all the things that they can do with their library.
in other, like in New York and DC, I got like a guest, I got something at the library, so I absolutely wanted to ask if they have something for people from out of town. Do we have something like that? Like a, a one-time card or gift card or like something, looks like a gift card, but it's library card from Madison, like a memento or something.
Sometimes we get asked if people can have a blank library card as a memento.
Yeah.
But they don't get like an actual library account with us. Yeah. We do have an agreement with all the public libraries in the state where we have reciprocal borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
So people from other places in Wisconsin can get a Madison public library card privilege, basically. And then we have separate rules for using the computer, but we don't have like a commemorative library card. If that makes sense.
I feel like we need one of those. We get like a lot of people who come here for like, Iron Man. I think, was this our last Iron Man? I think it might have been. Anyway, I felt like it's moving somewhere else. But I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. But I just feel like we get so many visitors to the city, it'd be a great promotion for, I don't know why or how. But when I'm out of town, and that could just be a nerdy thing, when I'm out of town, I always go try to get my library card somewhere else. Like a little. That's probably what they would,
Yeah, again, we have that commemorative one because sometimes people like collect library cards, and so we have that. We don't really have anything for that. What we typically see for like out of towners is they want to use the internet, and so we have a guest pass process where they can do that. We do have, I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but there's a like a limited use library card where you can just check out free things, and we use that for a variety of situations, including kids who. For whatever reason, can't get parental permission, they would still be able to check some things out.
That's really nice. I didn't know that was okay. That's really
But okay. Still not quite what you're mentioning, on the radar.
Yeah, put that on the horizon list for me.
Other than that, I wanted to, I hadn't really reported on any library metrics for a while, so I did a spotlight on self-check use. Kind of digging into the, how that has trended over the last year and a half. We are in the process of having to replace all of our self-check units. The foundation gave us preliminary funding to replace all the ones at the Penny Library, so they're going to test that with the new machines, and then we're working through what's also through the library system, like the mechanics of how many of the existing ones we have to replace. So some of the metrics that we see, we get individual data from each machine. Some of them, in some locations, they're equally used. In some locations, one machine is used much more than others. So it's mostly placement in the library in a lot of cases. In some cases, one gets used less because it was out of order for several months or something like that. So we're using that data to decide, do we replace all of those self-check machines? Do we replace some of them? Do we relocate some of them so that we can, know that technology investment is being used in the best way, and we're not over investing in technology that people aren't using.
What's the next
one? Penny did just open in 2020. I'm not sure because we've only had the machines for 5 years. So it's mostly that they can't run the software, and so we're working with Health Central to have a software extension. They are kind of custom built to run on the old Windows system. The older Windows isn't working anymore. We have some kind of extension that they're putting in place.
So the mechanical still works.
But they're basically like they're a PC and a case. Okay. And so, PCs get old after a while, and that's really what runs them. So I think it's very similar for C PCs and South Central PCs. We have a 4-year replacement and a 5-year replacement schedule. So my guess is, even though we only have these for about 5 years, my guess is that's maybe what we're going to expect out of these machines.
As I mentioned to you last night, I like the spotlighting of one trend like that, because going out to the dashboard is always sort of like overwhelming. But as a precedent, I saw that. I thought that's very helpful to take one data trend and spotlight it. So thank you for doing that.
Sure.
I also like putting the links to the different websites that you've got to be there. And you just made it very easy. If you have a question, you just ask questions and you can write there.
And then lots of links, tons of press. This was a very busy month. So I would say majority is Imagination Center and 150th library card, but there are some other fun ones in there as well. One thing that I would highlight, and Book Festival was another three or four of those stories. So one thing that I would highlight is the In Business did a really great profile on the Imagination Center. They talked to multiple people. They kind of really got in depth. They got all the facts right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you only read one of those links, I would recommend the In Business story. And then
I'll read the four pages soon. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, like, layout, too.
I did. And then finally, I'll just highlight Rachel Davidson. She's a great staff member at Sequoia. She received the Elizabeth Miller Proctor Scholarship Award. That is a foundation-funded award from the family of Elizabeth Miller Proctor, who was a neighborhood. What was her official title? She was like the branch manager for a while. And we had kind of different versions of branch management. Was she the full branch coordinator at some point, or was she just Eastside? I don't remember. She originally worked at Lakeview and then became a manager. Now we're all branches.
Is it a scholarship to go to school, or what kind of scholarship is it?
So it was originally started as a scholarship for library school students.
Mm-hmm.
Library school students who are also MPL employees. And a few years back, we worked with the family to change. Because what we heard is we had a lot of students who wanted to go to library school, but they were still getting their bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's a little more broad. Now it's open to MPL employees who are interested in library work.
Gotcha. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any questions? Thank you. All those in favor of approving the September 2025 director's report, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So I have a motion to approve item 90259, the August 2025 financial report.
I'll move.
I'll second.
I just had a couple of things noted to call out, and one is that, and especially noticeable on the monthly report, there were three payrolls in August instead of two, so all of the numbers are quite a bit larger than the typical month, except for health insurance, because that's a set fee every month. And then the other biggie, the multifunction device maintenance contract payment that we processed had been recorded in equipment improvement, repair, and maintenance, but we have moved them to office equipment improvement, repair, and maintenance. It's a better category for them, and it pulls them out of all of our other equipment. So you'll see a rather large charge for this month because it encompasses the entire year. My notes are just too good.
All those in favor of approving the August 2025 financial report, please say aye.
Aye.
Order of business is item 90199. So I have a motion to return to the lead with recommendation for approval, authorizing Madison Public Library to submit and, if awarded, accepting a grant of up to $2 million from the state of Wisconsin Department of Administration for the Imagination Center at Ryan Old Park Construction.
and authorizing the mayor and the city clerk to enter into a contract with the state Wisconsin Department of Administration to accept this grant reward.
I'll move. Award.
Thank you, Jeff. For a second. Okay. So this is another really good
news.
Mm-hmm.
This is yet different.
The money's flowing
in. Yeah, no kidding. Tell us about this.
Okay. So CJ Ryan from Parks brought this to our attention, and Parks is also applying for this grant for I think three other projects, and this is just the process that we need to go through. We need to ask for the ability to request or to apply for the grant and then to accept the funds of the award. So this grant is a different state grant, also from state DOA, for projects like this. And the maximum was $2 million. We're going to put in for that $2 million. The application is due on October 31st. And the only, yes, I know, see, Laurie is like, wow. It is much easier than the FFP grant application that we had to do, right? And doesn't jeopardize any of the FFP funding that we have. Yep, so if awarded, it would just be, we would reduce our borrowing by an additional $2 million.
Yeah. Is Parks going after, is it joint with Parks, or they're going after $2 million, we're going after $2 million?
Because we hold the funds for the Imagination Center, we have to apply, but they are applying for other Parks projects. Imagination Center.
Okay, they're not for you.
Right.
But there's, was your question, like, the pie is not $2 million. There's multiple $2 million grant opportunities available.
I'm assuming so. It's statewide.
Yeah. I don't know if that was your question.
Yeah, no, yes, it's yes, a statewide
right.
application.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how big the whole pool is?
I don't remember offhand, but actually that would be a minute.
Well, thanks for that clarification, because I was curious as well.
They said on the website, because of the demand, they were capping it.
Well, and I wonder too, this is state money, but I wonder if this is also like a reaction to fewer federal grants being available for like DOT and DOA related.
It is an ongoing project. Let me look it up. But this CJ knew about it because she has applied for these before.
Okay.
So it's not a program in the way that FFP was a new one-time program.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the date for learning whether or not the grant, you received the grant.
Yes, no, that's not in the agenda item.
So it's Department of Administration, it's called Grants for Local Projects. The application is due in October 31st of 2025, but it is not awarded until the spring of 2026.
Okay.
It is an initiative dedicated to supporting organizations in their pursuit of construction projects with a statewide public purpose. Continued by 2025, Wisconsin Act 15.
Is it only open to public sector entities?
Yes.
Not
nonprofit.
Right?
It is open to
nonprofit.
Just not
okay. Not
private.
For public.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No,
that's a big
yeah. And we've got a great project.
Yeah. And our project is moving forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I think that helps.
It's
helpful. Yeah.
It's beyond shovel ready.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the walls are up. They're coming.
So, any more discussion? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all those in favor of returning to the lead with recommendation for approval, authorizing the public library to submit, if awarded, accepting the grant of up to $2 million from the State of Wisconsin Department of Administration for the Imagination Center at Rhinebeck construction, and authorizing the mayor and the city clerk to enter into a contract with the City of Wisconsin Department of Administration to accept the grant award. All those in favor say
aye.
Aye.
All right. So moved.
Okay. Moving to our discussion items.
Item 84567. And it's going to give us an update on the information center at Dineville.
So the project continues to be on budget, but on schedule. We have a concrete slab floor. We have masonry being built up for the bathrooms and the mechanical rooms. The current schedule shows steel being delivered mid-October, and that structural steel going up over the next month and a half, followed by roofing, followed by enclosing the envelope so that work can continue throughout the winter. Very exciting. Paula will tell you his report about the progress on the fundraising campaign, but you know, two big things there are on track and on budget, and we have the staffing costs included in the operational budget. Happy to answer any questions.
One question I keep getting is, what will the other magic say? It would be good if you could please send me a summary statement or something. Sure. On, in general, this is how the process looks for what will be decided, you know, like programming, how that looks. So I can send that out to kind of inform people on what they can expect as a part of the process.
Are they interested in like in the physical space, like how many?
No, they're interested in like programs. Like they're ready to sign up for a class. And I could have been like, because I'm always talking about it online. You know, I'm like, I don't care what's there, I'll be there taking it.
Okay.
But periodically, I get a question every couple of weeks about, you know, what kind of program will be there, what will be offered,
mm-hmm.
and so I give a kind of a generic answer. You know, like that's kind of decided a little bit later on, but it would be nice to have like here's kind of how it works and how we determine.
Okay, yeah. I think one thing that might be helpful for those questions is give us a time frame of like when those things will be defined.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Got a few partnerships. We know for sure we're doing in person absentee voting place in an election spot for the fall. We know that we'll be working with Literacy Network to host classes. We know that we'll have story times. Other than that, to be determined. But we can get a little more specific about some of the partnerships that we have.
Yeah, and just how it, because, you know, each library has its own kind of, like, identity, but how, you know, is it the practice to sort of, like, invite the immediate area in? Those are the things I'm interested in, like, you know, being able to share with folks so they see themselves as part of what shows up later.
Would that be a good opportunity to ask and say, well, what would you like to see?
Oh, yeah, I definitely need that. Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's something we will hope to do in the spring once we have some of those staff hired and they can start to go out and make those immediate neighborhood connections.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. There's a facilities report.
Focus on Central tonight. We just found out today that you might remember I updated you that the mayor's office had asked that the engineering department, where the outside engineering consultants do tune-ups of city buildings that are over 50,000 square feet. the only building that we have that falls under that classification is this facility at 120,000 square feet. Our tune-up was reviewed, and Central has been determined to be running about as efficiently as it possibly can. So that was good news. They're using the video. We were the inaugural facility, so they're using the video from that to show the other 50,000-plus square foot facilities how it should go. So it was great news. Liz Boyd shared that she's done a great job promoting that. So, and we will be even more efficient after this coming winter when our chiller is heated up. A lot of credit to our facility staff for getting us through this summer
where this high efficiency is going to be improved upon.
So Mark, is this primarily focused on energy?
Yes, energy so they look primarily at the heating and cooling systems, lighting systems. Those are the greatest impact to energy consumption.
Okay.
So our HVAC system is operated about as efficiently as it can, but after these upgrades coming up, it will be even more efficient. Which ties into the next initiative, which is ongoing, which is our LED lighting replacement unit. Above us on the second floor in the 900s of Dewey are the mock-up LED lights that engineering has put in. Engineering is responsible for this entire project. The central team that has a number of stakeholders in it that it reviewed and felt that the LED was too high a temperature. It was too much glare, too much brightness. So engineering concurred, and so they'll be replacing it with the next level down. It was a situation, and they can be angled different than these. The lights can be angled, and you would have had to angle them too far down. The light that they put in at first, if you came to them from around the corner, you'd see they broke. So that was a problem. So we're going to continue to do mock-ups until we feel that we've arrived at a model that meets all of our standards. And when we think we're at that, then I'm going to let the board know so you also can take a look. Right, well, these are definitely
LEDs. Yeah, but currently all the LEDs are real snap, and maybe it just sounds like a one volume of light. It is, are they not adjustable?
Well, yeah, the temperature comes standard, but they do have dimmers.
Okay, they've got dimmers.
They've got dimmers.
But that doesn't change the temperature?
No, it's just the level of brightness, and so you would have, we want the high end. And the lights to come down from what the high end lights is.
And that's built into the light.
Yes.
Source itself, but not
into the lamp itself. Yeah. So they're currently working on getting the next one in, and hopefully that's going to be the one that achieves what we want.
So what's up there now is the two bright.
It's too bright. So I'm not recommending. Go up there and take a look at the 900s. Yeah, it's basically where the auto is. We also have got going this week our autonomous floor cleaner. It's just about programmed. It's been taken to all the floors until its AI forms a map that it can then automatically be dispatched to go and break in the floor. So very excited about that. That should, that is doing very large open square footages that will allow the custodial staff to look at more detailing or hard to get at. So it's the part of the system that you go with these. So they're not going to replace people. Some crazy overlord situation occurs. they partner with the people so they can get to corners and high dusting while you let it go just to do the main floor. So they're just around this week. I anticipate a naming contest similar to Penny. The one out there is named Nano Sweep. So we'll see about that. The council also approved the contract with IBS, which is the city's wiring and cable data management vendor, which means that we're going to be able to get the new paging system here installed, hopefully by the end of the year. And the last thing I wanted to highlight in the money we repurposed from the central redesign, we got the autonomous cleaning. We're still getting quotes on the bipolar ionization, which will be attached to the air handling units at the first and second floor. And that greatly assists with scrubbing the air. Some folks notice at certain times that there's a staleness, even though the air is being circulated as it should be. Once we get the quotes, will depending on the amounts, how much of the building is going.
So as Mark alluded to, we had taken that 250 level for design and repurposed that to do some structural things that we knew we needed to do. So I think in, don't hold me to it, but maybe in 27 we will start the design planning. So it's possible that we would put in a 26 capital request. We're starting that process in 27, and that determines both determined on our capacity, engineering's capacity, and kind of the budget situation. But we know that there are areas of this building that we could really use a design on, areas that are as well, Pat, our IT person, is doing a project where we will have not only the ability to see how many people come in the door, but where they go within the building. So kind of heat map floors of building a little so that we can see like the youth services is used or is not used at this time of day. The teen area has no teens in it. You know, how many people actually go into that space and what might we do with that space. In addition, Bubbler has been busy or not busy, you know, some of those areas. Who's using one entrance versus the other? So do we, you know, there are a whole bunch of different things we could think about. And I think we want to make sure that we do the design work in a time frame that allows us to ask for funds and get them to do the work, so we don't have design that sits on the shelf for 5 years and then we basically have to do the redesign. So some of that is dependent on how the city budget conversations go, I think, in the next year or two, and what things look like, you know, from funding at the federal level and how that affects us. And then part of it is really just like the capacity to get things done. We already have the Wildlife Service Center siting project that has been delayed multiple times because engineering has to have the capacity to work on it. We know that we're building a new library. We probably don't have the capacity to design a different library at the same time and go through that community engagement process. But then also the timeline for the downtown plan has changed. And so that that citywide planning process in conjunction with DMI is starting now. And so we would like to time our planning with planning that the larger city is doing around what are the projections for activity in the downtown area for the next 10 to 15 to 20 years. Because then we would, you know, we might have our own internal desires of what we might want to do with the space, but it's really important to know like who's going to be in the downtown 10 years from now. And having that planning process inform our planning process, I think, is, makes sense.
Remind me, budget wise, if you like hiring a consultant, the $250,000 for design, whatever, that capital or not operating?
Capital.
That is capital. That could be the capital.
No, and generally, Tom, they look at 10% design fees for what the overall project is going to
be. Exactly, that initial planning. That they're,
so we were thinking it would probably be 2.5 million.
The renovation was,
we would be asking for it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think most of what I was going to report on has been touched on in one way or another. I will start with an update on the capital campaign for the Imagination Center. Over the last month, we've raised just about $500,000 for the campaign, bringing us to $3.86 million out of the $4.5 million. We have about $640,000 left to raise between now and next year in December. We feel very good about that. Hope so. But it's been really good. We did our first site visit with the board from the Brennenbaum Foundation, and they not only were many of them very unfamiliar with that side of town, and we can talk later about a specific quote, but they were really excited to hear Tana's responses to many of their questions about how the library or the facility will serve the public. I got feedback about that from board members, from the ED of the Brennenbaum Foundation, and it's been really great. Two things I want to mention, highlight events here at the library, one free, one not. The Wisconsin Book Festival starts 2 weeks from today. It is going to be 58 events over 4 days, mostly in this building, anticipating thousands of people coming for those events. If you haven't looked at the book festival lineup yet, it is a banner year. Jane has outdone herself, just highlights in every category, and so I highly recommend you coming. We love to see you. We also love it as an opportunity to show off what the library does. So if you have friends who don't, you know, get involved at the library or have a subject matter interest, this is a great way, a free way, to bring them and show this fantastic thing. Free coffee on Saturday and Sunday morning. Absolutely show up. The other thing is Ex Libris. That is a month from today will be done. So however long after that. November 7th, 7 to 10 p.m. here at the library. We have about 35, 36 tasting partners lined up. We're anticipating a similar audience to last year. We have about 100 tickets left to sell. So if you haven't bought your tickets, please do, because they are going fairly quickly. And we do anticipate that we'll sell out. Selling out and the silent auction probably leads to about $100,000 in funds raised unrestricted for the library. And so it is a really key part of what the foundation does in the year. So we have sponsorship opportunities, tickets to sell. Please get involved. Is there anyone who hasn't been to Ex Libris before in the room? Bloomer? Talk to me after. It's a fantastic opportunity. So a lot of buzz about the library right now, between, you know, the mayor's budget and these events coming up. So it's just a really great time to promote and support the library. I will also say that I've heard from an incredibly wide variety of people, both in city government, out of city government, past foundation people, past library board people who have come up to me over the last, since last week, Tuesday, when the mayor had her press conference here. And I just want the library board to know that the general tenor in the community is that Tana has done an incredibly great job being a great partner to the city. And that people deeply recognize Alder Madison's work on the budget committee, getting the operational funds. Sorry. I can't track your schedule. But I just want you to know that as library board members, these two people are being recognized across the city for the work that they're doing to make the Imagination Center a reality, and great work on behalf of libraries. And I get to hear those things when I go to coffee, and so you should hear them at this meeting.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, I can share a couple quick things. I'd say, number one, the South Central Library System just approved their annual budget, our annual budget at the last meeting, so nothing too eventful. I did share with Tana, though, that there was some discussion about the agreements between us and South Central, and sounds like those conversations have recently kind of gotten started. So I think more to come, I'm sure Tana will share as things progress there. And the hope is that Shannon will be able to come to our next board meeting in November. So I would say just, you know, if you have questions for her, I'm happy to pass things along in advance. I shared the same, you know, with the South Central board if they had things that they wanted to have shared with this group. And I'll also make sure that the invitation is extended if they want to come and, you know, hang out at our meeting when Sharon is here. And then only last thing I'll share is South Central's had quite a bit of staff turnover, and there's been illnesses and just like a lot going on staff-wise there. So they have recently hired a new kind of office manager. And so I think they're all feeling a lot of relief about that. Their office manager, who's been there for like 20 years or something, is suffering from cancer. And so she's kind of been on extended leave. So I think they've sort of had to take a pause on some of their administrative activities while they went through this this search process for a new manager. So they hired somebody new. Good news. That's it.
Thank you.
Oh, one quick question. Because I know they were part east side and they bought the new building. So any sense of how that new space is working out for them?
By the airport. That's where they're at, is by the airport. It's okay. Kind of behind where Ale Asylum used to be. There's like a little office park near the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually not, you might know, I'm not sure how long they've been in that space.
In a couple years.
Okay.
And then two of their three apartments moved over, and then the delivery finally moved into that space. So now all three components of their organization are in the same space.
Excellent. And did they buy that building?
I'm not sure if they bought it or if they're leasing it or what's the deal. I can certainly ask.
I was just curious.
But it's
used
a big
to share an office with.
Right.
Oh, that's right. It's a big space, and they seem like very much settled and comfortable. Oh. But
Well, we'll find out.
What I've heard is that it's great to have the adjacency of everyone together, mm-hmm. and like they're learning more about the delivery operations, and you know the fact that they're all kind of under one roof has been helpful in terms of communication, because we don't have multiple locations now.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Automatically,
I have to tell you that I have enjoyed watching the video of the mayor doing the presentation.
Oh, yeah.
You're in that corner and you're vibrating in the corner. It was really great. I mean, enthusiasm, the energy, and of course the announcement itself.
Did you say this was J310? 335, okay. I remember.